Blog Talk Radio.
Compost. Today's secret password is compost.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by MenaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. MenaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program and author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, December 20th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Facebook and become a fan on Twitter. Or wait, let me rephrase that. Become a fan on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. All that high-tech stuff. My goodness gracious. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you got to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage. Now, if you're listening live right now, all you have to do is scroll down a little bit on your computer screen. The chat room's already open. If you're listening live, you're already in the chat room. But if you haven't registered, you're in there as a guest. So click on the Register button. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you too can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk all about our hobby and passions, backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming and gardening, preparedness, and a whole lot more. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by MenaPro. MenaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that MenaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. MenaPro, nurturing life. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com. VermexUSA.com to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Today, of course, is Tuesday, December the 20th. That means we are now only 5 days, 5 days away from, you guessed it, Christmas. Hear Pat in the background there? Absolutely. Alrighty, speaking of Pat, it is now time to bring on our co-host, Poultry Advocate. Self, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat, we heard you fucking along.
Hey, Whisperer. Yeah, I was trying to contain myself, but I just couldn't keep the cucks pinned. I just get so excited when I think about Christmas and chicken. How are you doing today, Whisper?
I'm hanging in there, a little stressful. You know, Jen's grandmother passed away, I guess, the day before yesterday, I guess it was.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
But we already were kind of traveling for Christmas, and now that kind of, puts a little changing in the plans. So it's kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off, no pun intended. But so a little bit of craziness here and there. And you know, me and Jen were just talking, the viewing is tomorrow afternoon. Shouldn't, other than, you know, travel plans, making them a little haywire, change much for that. But they've scheduled the funeral for Thursday at 1. Now, all of you know that I broadcast 12 to 1:30, and Thursday, not only are we giving away the chicken coop, but we've been promoting for the last week that, you know, we've got a direct line to the North Pole, and Santa Claus is going to be here on Thursday taking calls from all the little boys and girls. So we're talking about how to deal with that. I may go to the viewing tomorrow night and then not partake in the actual funeral for since we've been broadcasting and promoting this show on Thursday for so long. And said that would more than likely be just fine. So we'll just see how it goes. Even if I have to go to the funeral as Santa, broadcast the show and have Santa actually detour and come to the funeral home and we broadcast in a private room there, then we'll do it because
yeah.
People are getting excited, and the show must go on. And so we're going to do what we can to still broadcast tomorrow. We're going to do our best and still broadcast on Thursday. So even if it's just a 15-minute broadcast, we're going to broadcast, because it's right now we're getting right down to the wire. And with this awesome chicken coop contest here that we're going to be giving away on Thursday from MyPetChicken.com, Derek and Tracy over there. And there's only after today, which if you're a latecomer, we've already announced the secret password. So if you didn't get it, well, then all I have to say, you know what's coming, Pat? You know what's coming
I
here.
I know what's coming. Here
you
goes.
Get the password today. Well, then that just sucks for you.
Got to go back and re-listen to the show. That's all. It won't take long.
You got to pay attention to Facebook a little later today when we post it there, or maybe on our Twitter account. So you got to love it. So, but anyway, so yeah, after today, just wait a minute. Yeah, two more. No, tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the last password that we're going to be actually issuing. So we have to today's password. Today's password, and then we'll have a password during tomorrow's show, and then Thursday. Santa Claus will be joining us, and of course, you'll have to be the right caller, and we'll deem what caller that number will be on Thursday. And then if you're the right caller and can recite all the secret passwords correctly, then you're going to win that awesome chicken coop, the four square, valued at $400 plus shipping. So wherever you live in the lower 48, could be a $650 Christmas present for you. Did I just say Christmas present?
You did. I heard it.
This Thursday, and Santa Claus will be here to give away that awesome chicken coop. So we've got that going on. So we'll get her done, as the original people who said that from Little House on the Prairie back in the 70s, not this new comedian blue collar guy. Get her done was initially said on an episode of Little House on the Prairie back in, what was that, the late 70s, early 80s? So
Yep.
Absolutely. I remember that episode very well. Very well. So let's get over here to the chat room. It's slowly but surely filling up. And let's see what we got. We've got, of course, believe it or not, I'm in the chat room. Allison's there. Bard Rock. Bard Rock's wife. Big Kenny. East Dallas Dave. Eric is joining us from Milledgeville, Georgia, I believe. Moto Clown. We got Nat. We've got Poet's Wife. USMC Vet. Hoorah. We've got, actually, KK4, EFG, calling KK4, EFN, you copy? We've got Vanessa, inside joke, and we've got Walter, and of course, a guest in there. Guest, if you'll take a moment to click on the register button, then you too can get your own crazy, or maybe not so crazy, screen name there, and then you can come in and join us and post in the chat room and meet some new friends, where lots and lots and lots of friends have been made. So, yep, there he is, USMC Vet, Roger Dodger, and don't call me Shirley. And don't call me Shirley.
10-4, good buddy. Absolutely. Listen, Whisper, I've got to let you know I'm on the road again. I'm coming to the end of this tour, but I've got to travel during the day to get to the workshops at night. So, and I'm going across the desert, and I think my signal will be all right, but
can't
yesterday I lost it. So,
on the road again.
If you lose me, I'll just have to say I'm in ether space in the desert.
Okay, that's hopefully you have lots of bottled water, and
your
tires are in good shape, and the car is mechanically sound, and because if you look up and you see buzzards flying around, then you might want to be very wary of.
Well, if I get hungry enough, I'll eat them. I can catch them. This desert is amazing. I just passed where Cochise had his stronghold against the army. And it's amazing that they were battling in this land here. It's this stark beauty. It's incredible. Wait, there's something about the desert that is magical. You know, it's harsh and it's magical somehow. But I wouldn't want to be out there alone.
What war took place out there? What were you saying about the battle?
Oh, Cochise. You remember that one of the Indian chiefs that was a strong against the army, the U.S. Army, when they were trying to get them on the reservations. His stronghold, where he had his men, is not far from where I just drove by.
I think, are you sure that the war is over? I think I hear him in the background.
That's really funny. Yeah. I don't know what to say about that. No, I don't think the war really is over in a way, because now it's a war against poverty or an initiative for poverty. And so these huge reservations that they have out here, and the water and the topsoil are so scarce, so precious. So it's a different kind of front these days.
Is there such a thing as topsoil in a desert to begin with?
I know. It's just amazing. But yeah. And because it's all fenced in, of course, there's not the livestock or the grazing that used to be here. So that also has changed the face of the desert. But it's pretty amazing. Yeah, I wish you were here. We'd have a blast chortling along down the highway.
I'd make you pull over and I'd start making some sandcastles.
Well, I drove through a dust storm yesterday. I mean, it was a full-blown dust storm. I had to put on my windshield wipers And I thought, my gosh, there goes all that topsoil. Look at that.
Now, did you see tumbleweeds flying across the road?
Yes.
And did you hear in the background as you were driving, it got a real quietness, and then you heard.
No, I just saw the tumbleweed. I had to swerve to miss it.
Oh.
Yeah. That's Mariah, isn't it? The wind's named Mariah. Is it whistling for someone? Oh, gosh. But the wind, oh, my gosh, they've had gusts here up to 50, 60 miles an hour. And even the locals are saying this is unusual for that kind of strong wind to go by. It's been pretty wild. Yeah. So who knows what's
They call the
up.
Wind Mariah. Mariah. I think Mariah. She had a lot of top 10 hits on the charts, didn't she, Mariah? Mariah Carey, yeah. So she had a lot of top 10 hits, apparently. So she must be a popular wind or very good. Hey, we got some chickens in the news to share. I've got at least two, I believe, that I want to share. Let me get over here to where I can pull them up. I haven't read them through yet, but the titles were very interesting. As you know, Chickens in the News is brought to you by Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio.
Since 1985, Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio has been a family-owned and operated business. Meyer Hatchery is a year-round hatchery that offers over 160 breeds of poultry, including chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, guineas, peafowl, and game birds, plus a full line of feed and supplies. Just need a few baby chicks? No problem. Meyer Hatchery will ship as few as 3 baby chicks. Check them out online at MeyerHatchery.com. That's MeyerHatchery.com.
Alrighty, let me get over here to the chickens in the news. Just give me a second here. I don't think, is that one it? Let's see, there's a couple. Come on now, where'd it go? Hang on a minute, let me find it. I know I'm probably going to read that one. Ah, here we go. Here we go. This is the one I wanted to read. Might be related. At least it looks like it was related, if it'll just go ahead and open up here. USMC vet in the chat room was saying, the good, the bad, and the Andy.
Well said.
it's like that famous quote from Outlaw of Josie Wales. He spits on the madman's forehead after he had shot him and said, birds got to eat well as worms. Buzzards got to eat well as worms. All right, here we go. Teen entrepreneur turns a profit from his poultry. Teen entrepreneur turns a profit from his poultry by Malcolm Hall, CantonRep.com staff writer. Let's see. Because of a desire to conduct business with some feathered fowls, William Bill Brown III is a fledgling entrepreneur, and he's not even out of high school yet. Operating on his parents' property in the 3,000 block of Fox Avenue Southeast, Brown has established a poultry-producing project featuring chickens and turkeys. The Manvera High School senior sells his product to friends and anyone who's heard of his business. Advertising is through word of mouth, he said. We have been so busy, I haven't been able to keep as good a sales record as I should, said Brown. We kind of thought about if it gets any bigger, if this gets any bigger, maybe beef, but we were going to ride it out with poultry and see where that takes us. Brown receives help from his younger brother, Wiley Brown, a freshman. The brother's parents, William Jr. and Laura Brown, state they did not route the poultry raising business on their older son. This was his own idea. Mr. Brown, who is employed at Fresh Mark, said, if anything, I discouraged it. I don't want a lot of chickens around here, he said. He's done a good job, though, and he has our support. Brown III obtains his chickens by delivery from Meyer Hatchery. The recently hatched chickens are nurtured and fed on the Brown's farm. We don't put any antibiotics or growth hormones in our feed. Said the young businessman, you get a higher quality product. We finish them out until we get them up to market rate. Then we have them processed. Processing takes place at the Pleasant Valley Poultry in the Baltic area. Processing includes cutting the fowls and packaging them for selling. So teen entrepreneur turns a profit from his poultry, raising them from chicks, all natural and healthy, and then selling them and including turkeys. So good for you, entrepreneur. We commend you for actually doing that and working hard for yourself and your business and getting things done successfully. Alrighty, let's see what else we have here. There was another one that I wanted to share. This is a good positive one right here, I believe. Pasco Council okays chickens and rabbits. The Bellingham Herald from Bellingham, Washington. Pasco Council okays chickens and rabbits as pets. Amelia Larson and her four children will get the chance to raise chickens at their Pasco home. The Pasco City Council approved their request Monday to add chickens and rabbits as household pets in a 4-3 vote. Chickens were allowed only in Pasco's residential suburban zones, but not residential zones, which have smaller lots. With the change, families can grow up to three chickens. Woo, three chickens. They're going all out. In residential zones, with the total of chickens, rabbits, dogs, cats capped at six for a single-family home on a lot 5,000 square feet or larger. Richland and West Richland include chickens among household pets, while Kenwick allows chickens in residential suburban zones but not other residential zones, unless the property was annexed into the city with the use grandfathered in. Pasco Councilman Al Yeaney said that he's seen a lot of support for the change, but Councilman Mike Garrison, who voted against the change, along with Mayor Pat Watkins and Councilman Saul Martinez, says some residents in this district are concerned about allowing chickens. He asked that the council review the change in a year. Councilman Bob Hoffman said he would like to amend the ordinance so that the 10-foot setback from all property lines for the chicken coop be lowered to 5 feet on the back of the property only when the property is, for example, along an alley. That's a change that can be made after a public hearing in January or February, said the city manager, Gary Crutchfield. So congratulations to the people who worked hard to get the law changed up there in Pasco, just outside of Bellingham, Washington. And congratulations, you can now have some pet chickens in your backyard. And you know, the councilman who wanted to revisit new law in a year, what you need to do now, folks, is in a year when he wants to review the law to see if there's been any problems What you need to do is also request that they review the law, and when they find that there haven't been any complaints that they thought they may have, that happened in Longmont, Colorado, and it's documented, and you can Google it, where they said, you know, after 2 years, there had been no problems. There's been 17,000 reports on dogs and 3 on chickens. So we didn't have any of the problems everybody was whining about when we were trying to pass the law. So in a year, folks, what you need to do is if they want to review it in a year, you need to push that and say, look, we want to now keep 6 chickens because we have a family of 4, 5, 6 people, and we want the eggs. And why can't we have 6 again? Let's use your own documentation. Let's use your own reports. Let's use the county's own investigation. What complaints have there been with chickens so far in the last year? None? Really? So now, why can't we have 6? Let's go down this road again. You say smell? There haven't been any reports of smell. Loud? There's no noise. There's no chickens running loose. So now, how can you justify not us allowing to have 6 to feed our family? I don't get it. Use their own information.
How about 12 or 20, Whisper? I mean, why 6? I would even go for more if they're going to be doing biomass recycling and having kitchen garden. They need the manure for their garden. So go up to 20.
Yeah, absolutely. Just going up to 20. So perfect.
It's really not that many, as you know. I mean, 20 chickens is like two big, large dogs in a way. They're so small and so manageable. But anyway, well, it's interesting you brought that up because that's exactly what Tucson is going through, and they're trying to figure out how many chickens to allow, and they're proposing 20. In Tucson, which I think is right now the current legal limit, but their setbacks are 50 feet. So there is precedence for that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And we'll be covering all that in Nashville. If you did not know, I've been invited, and we'll head to Nashville to help fight for the Keeping a Backyard Poultry. The group up there, UCAN, I think it's United Chicken Alliance of Nashville. They have done a fabulous job. Many of them are members of the Nashville Backyard Poultry Meetup Group that I'd started up there about 3 or 4 years ago. And I met with them about 2 years ago when I was on the Chicken Whisperer tour that ran through Nashville. We had supper with them one night, met some great folks, and they've been asking me to come up, and it just so happens with our travel schedule and the holidays and Jen's now work schedule that we will have an opportunity. So we're going to be heading up there, and in fact, I'll be speaking at a city council meeting. It'll be the final reading. I think it'll be the final reading for the new backyard poultry ordinance there on Tuesday, January the 3rd, and then right after the meeting, we're going to be going to out to a restaurant, and we'll have chicken wings with the Chicken Whisperer. So it's going to be a fun time there, and I'm really looking forward to heading up that way. Got to get the press release done for that and get it to them. But we'll be in Nashville here, and it'll be good to see some old friends up that way and go up there and continue the fight for backyard poultry. Now Nashville, if we can get them going with backyard poultry in Nashville, then that's another great big step in the right direction for everybody. So looking forward to that.
Excellent. Okay, so, go get them, Whisper.
The final reading.
They don't have a chance if you're going to get stuck. Talk in front of city council. Yeah, you'll set the record straight with facts.
You got that right. Actually, this will be the second reading. The final reading will be later in January. This will be the second reading of the new chicken ordinance that they're going to try and vote on and pass. And I think rumor has it they do have enough votes, I think, to get this through, but they'd like to get a few more. And so that's how really looking forward to helping them out. Yep, Urban Chicken Advocates of Nashville. Yep, Urban Chicken Advocates of Nashville.
Wouldn't it be great if they go unanimously in support of chickens and to support local food? I mean, that would be a statement for their citizens as well as the green foods movement, local food.
It'd be fabulous.
See if you can get them unanimous.
We'll do it. We'll definitely do. And if not, then there's always one that might not want to listen to reason or fact, not want to look at the factual information. So we'll see. We'll be very respectful. We'll throw the facts out there to them. And, of course, I'll give them my personal phone number so they can, if they have any questions, just like I did up in Vermont with Kathy Rubicaba. And I was a liaison liaison there and was brought in during mediation between them to help that out, and that worked very positively. And she's still cooking with her little company, Late in Vermont. And so I remember that she was on the radio show quite a bit, and we were trying to fight for her rights to keep backyard poultry and her little egg business up there. So very, very cool. So let's see. That's my chickens in the news. Do you have anything to add, Pat, before we take a break and bring on Andrew Odom?
No, I don't. It's the news keeps rolling off, but I'm just my news is I get to go home Friday. So I'm so looking forward to being home. So that's all the news I've got today, Whisper.
Yeah, I bet. You know, you're man, I bet your cow's like, I can't hold the milk any longer. Get Pat here soon.
My cow share.
Yeah, your cow share.
No, I think who's ever managing the cow share, they've been taking good care of those cows. Those cows are loved cows. So they're not in any discomfort at all. That's funny, though. Have you ever milked a cow, Whisper?
A long time ago. And it's an art. It's not just you don't just go up there and start squeezing. There is an art and technique to that. Let me tell you.
There is. Yeah, and you got to do it twice a day, or they just get they get really uncomfortable. So, of course,
absolutely.
A lot of the places now have these little portable milkers, so they can do it a little faster. But
right.
Yeah,
just
I like
hook it
cooking.
Up.
There's something therapeutic about it.
I can understand that. Sure, absolutely. You're one with the beast and nature, and you're getting your food source. And I completely am on board with that, Pat.
Yeah,
so,
you're up close and personal when it comes to being with your food when you milk a cow or a goat.
That's exactly.
Doesn't get
yeah,
much
but be
more
careful.
Personal than
be,
that, does it?
Exactly. You just want to be very careful not to try to milk the bull. And just forewarn you, try not to milk the bull. There's a distinct difference there. So, all right, he may not like it. So, gotta love it. So we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to welcome Andrew Odom. He is the founder of TinyRevolution.us, and he's going to continue updating us about his goal and his mission with his family to live a minimalist lifestyle. And here on Backyard Poultry, as you know we do, we're going to be asking the tough questions, and we're going to ask him about his new Christmas gift and if it meets all the requirements of living a minimalist lifestyle. We've got some tough questions to ask Andrew when we come back right after this short break. Stay with us, folks. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom-labeled egg cartons from EggCartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons
stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is a Tuesday. It is the 20th. It is December. And, of course, it is time in a moment. I've got to do one thing real quick. We're going to bring on Andrew Odom, tinyrevolution.us. Now, Pat, I'm going to bring you back live, but I don't want you to say anything right now. I want everybody to hear. There's a background noise. Don't do anything, Pat. I want everybody to listen very carefully here. I'm going to bring Pat on and listen to the click, 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 click in the background. Okay, don't say anything, Pat. Let's listen here. I'm going to bring you on live here. You hear that?
I don't.
I do. Let's see if the people in the chat room hear it. It sounds like you're driving through the desert in an old Model T. Click, 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 click.
Huh. No, I don't hear anything. Maybe I should just sign off for today and
no, it's fine. It's not a big deal. You can't hear it unless we're not yapping. And if it's silent,
does the chat room hear it? Is it coming through in the chat room?
Hang on, let's be quiet for a second. Yeah, it's still there. It'll click, click, click,
yeah,
click, click, click.
I don't hear anything coming
from my end. No, that's fine. No, I don't hear it when we're talking. It's just when it's completely silent. It's completely silent, and it sounds like you know. It's funny. It sounds like you're driving through the desert in an old Model T Model T Ford with a little I don't know, just a little 2-cylinder, 1-cylinder engine. Click, 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 click.
Huh? Probably just wonder where that's coming from. Who knows?
Quite funny. Hey, no big deal because I can't hear it. So let me go ahead and get over here, and we're gonna bring on and ask the tough questions to our good friend and buddy Andrew Odom, founder of tinyrevolution.us. Andrew, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yo yo.
Yo.
How's it going?
good. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it. Are you all ready for the big fat guy in the red suit to come?
I wish you wouldn't talk about me like that.
He did it behind your back too, Andrew. It wasn't just on the air.
My gosh.
Yeah. So sure we are. We're ready. Unfortunately, we don't have a chimney, so I'm not exactly sure how we're going to be receiving him this year. But we are ready nonetheless, I suppose.
Very good, very good. And if y'all didn't know, again, Andrew Odom is the founder of TinyRevolution.us, and him and his wife and his new daughter, they're going down the path of living a minimalist lifestyle. Now, they do wear clothes. Let me clarify that. They do wear clothes, but we're talking about a minimalist.
Only in polite company, mind you.
And when it's cold.
Fortunately for us, we know no polite people.
Well, you're in good company on the show. There you go.
Right.
Make yourself at home.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm not looking at a computer screen today, so someone else will have to kind of keep an eye on the boards if anything is asked during the course of while I'm here. I'm actually sitting out on the front porch. It's starting to get cold, and I'm afraid this is one of the last times for a while that I'll be able to comfortably sit out here, so I'm not staring at the computer, so someone else will have to monitor that for us.
No problem at all. We're going to start off right now with, well, minimalist lifestyle is he's currently working on their home, which is again, I never can remember the actual the measurements, but it's something like 12 by 28 on a wheeled kind of a trailer frame.
You're close. It's 8 by 30.
Eight by thirty. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Cool. I know it's close somewhere in that area. Eight by thirty, with a family of three, and currently working on that, and just kind of purging everything and with that we don't need. However, leave it to me. I saw one of Andrew's posts on Facebook yesterday. And he got a neat little gadget.
Yes.
He got a neat little gadget for as a Christmas gift, and I was wondering if he justifies that, and he'll tell us what it is in a moment, if he justifies that neat little gadget as a requirement of living a minimalist lifestyle, and where he plans to store the little gadget, and if it is worth it for that little bit of storage space for the gadget. So we're asking several tough questions to our good friend Andrew, and so I'm just going to let him tell you what the gift was and how he justifies that in his minimalist lifestyle. Here on the show, I think it's awesome to
yeah.
So I said, I'm going to ask him tomorrow the tough questions. So let's get you started here, Andrew.
Sure. Well, I just have to laugh and tell you that I'm actually enjoying a product of the new gadget right now as we speak. So it is well justified. This would be the third time in 2 days it has justified its presence. So at any rate, as I said on the Facebook status yesterday, my wife knows very well that one of the only things I missed from my bachelorhood is something that developed when I lived in Paris. And I basically started and ended each day with a café au lait. And for those of you who go to the Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever it is, they don't make café au lait right in America. They make something called a café americano, or they make a couple other little things, but it's not a café au lait. Café au lait is one half coffee, one half milk with steamed milk or froth on top. It has 1 teaspoon of sugar in it, and that's it. So it has to be done very well, and I had enough of them in France that I know what's good and what's bad. So my wife had mentioned...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Paris, Texas. My bad.
Wouldn't that be funny if Paris, Texas actually had an authentic cafe right downtown? That would be fantastic. So you know, during the course of our marriage, my wife has tried very hard to reproduce the string for me. She's tried several times. They've all been good, mind you, but not perfect. So about 2 months ago, she said, you know what I'd really like? And I said, what? She said, for Christmas, I want a frother. And I said, Lord, we don't need a frother. And she said, no, I think we do. I think we do. And so as all good husbands do, I just said, okay. And I put it somewhere so far in the back of my brain that when I was trying to get a little Christmas present for her, I couldn't remember what she had said. So about a week ago, she says to me, are one of those presents that frother I asked for? And immediately I went, oh, man.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I didn't know what kind you wanted, so why don't you just get one, and it'll be your present. So she did. She got a Compresso frother, which is a high-end, not very expensive, but a high-end frothing pitcher. And it
nice.
Is not very large, not very large
right.
at all. It's about eight. It's about, I would say probably 36 ounces in a pitcher type with a little base that it sits on. So it comes in the mail yesterday, and we break it open. The first thing she says is, do you want a cafe au lait? And I said, yes, please try. So she makes it, and guys, it's perfect. It was perfect. It was as if Edith Piaf herself was singing lullabies in my ear. And for those of you on the boards that don't know who Edith Piaf is, just imagine the dirtiest country farm girl you could imagine singing songs about revolution. That's Edith Piaf to France. So I have this drink, and then it occurs to me, as Andy points out on Facebook, now that you have this little thing, where are you going to put it? So I think to myself, I'll hang this darn thing from the ceiling if I have to. We ain't getting rid of it. But it found a space. It found a space underneath of the kitchen countertop, sitting on top of the on-demand hot water heater, which does not get hot on the outside, and you can place things on it, I checked. So it's sitting on top of that, clearly out of sight, but not out of reach.
Very nice.
So is
there are those daily delights, you know, Andrew, that make life worth living, whatever
oh,
they
absolutely.
Might be for people. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Just because it's minimalist doesn't mean it's not enjoyable.
That's right. And, Andy, you know what's funny is it brings up a good point because we laugh about it, we kid about it, but it's a good point on simple living and minimalism. A lot of people have the idea, have the notion that to live simply or to live a minimal lifestyle or whatever you want to call it, that it's about going without any sort of privilege, without any sort of comfort. It's about a struggle. It's about sacrificing
right.
everything for the greater good of mankind. And I think that's all fine and dandy for people that want to live out of a backpack and cruise around the world and wonder what happened to their life when they get old. I think that's great. But for me, there are simple pleasures. You know, there are a lot of minimalists that you will talk to who don't even want to bring children into the world because they feel like it is adding to overpopulation. They're that extreme. Well, obviously I'm not that extreme. I both like my daughter and cafe au lait. So having said that, you make do. You figure out, is this something I really want? If so, is there space for it? If there's not space for it, what is it that I have that I don't really use that it could take
uh-huh.
the place of?
Exactly.
And trust me, there are tons of things that we have in our tiny house that we really don't use that much that we look at and go, gosh, do we really need this? Do we really need this? And that's part of simple living is constantly taking inventory of your needs versus your wants.
Well said, Andrew. Well
having,
said.
Having said that, Andy, there you have it. And, yeah, having said that, y'all, that's my take on the whole scenario.
Very good.
And so much of simple living, if I could add, is because from our tiny house experiences, it's having a bigger life just with less stuff. I mean, with a smaller living space, so you're
Absolutely.
Free to go
Absolutely.
Out and have your coffees or do what in more volunteer work or another job, whatever it is you choose to use your time for. It's a
Absolutely.
Bigger life with a lesser space. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, Crystal and I we support on a monthly basis a family, some friends of ours it's a family of six, and they're missionaries in Germany. And when he first got there. When the family first got there, the husband, the dad, he very quickly found out that one of the things he was going to have to invest in was a coffee maker. And I'm not talking about a Mr. Coffee coffee pot. I mean a full-on coffee machine.
Yeah.
He ended up paying just over $1,000 for it. And
wow.
Basically what it is, you put the beans in, and when you start the machine, it grinds the beans for the amount of cups you want. It then brews the coffee, and then it has a self-cleaning hot water. And it's connected to your water pipe. Now, a lot of people say, that's extravagant. He's a missionary. How dare he spend money on that? Well, here's the key. To the population, to the people that he lives amongst, to the people he witnesses to, that is a priority in their life. And so that mm-hmm. is a way for him to be able to be on the same level as his neighbors and as the people he wants to be with and he wants to be around. So that investment is highly warranted. For us, we don't have a Starbucks 10 minutes away. We don't have a coffee shop here in town. We don't have any of that. It's also a way for us to save money. We don't pay $4 for a cup of fancy coffee. We have
right.
We've purchased a couple of items that allow us to make those here at home, and we do for about 70, 80 cents a cup for, an espresso or for, mocha drink or something like that. And so that's where the exchange comes in. You talk about, do I want to spend this much every day, or would I rather make an investment up front that's going to have incredible dividends throughout the course of its lifetime?
Exactly. You know, Andrew, over the, like you say, over the course of the lifetime, $1,000, you think, oh, my God, that's so much. But if he's paying $3 for a cup of coffee, that's just 1 year's worth of coffees at,
yep.
at a coffee
yep.
shop. So then
yep.
it goes
not,
on for decades after that to serve you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to mention when people he's trying to witness to or trying to spend more time with, when they come to his home, he is the consummate house guest, and they want to be there. They want to fellowship during that time.
They really come for the coffee. They don't come to
coffee. I've been to a couple of churches where if it weren't for the sausage biscuit breakfast, I would have walked right back out.
Yes, I understand. We have there are good reasons and real reasons for anything, right, Andrew?
That's
not
right.
Always what
you
think.
You got that right. You got
yeah.
that right.
Yeah, well, I think I applaud your coffee maker for your minimalist lifestyle. I think we're not here to suffer or to deny ourselves, but really to define what's joyful to us and what pleases
Absolutely.
Us so much, and certainly your coffee does.
Absolutely. Well, Andy, is anything happening on the boards? Anybody negating what I have said? Are they wondering, or are they just randomly talking?
I will read this one to you. Missionaries in Germany buying a $1,000 coffee machine to support the poor, unenlightened Germans who need to be witnessed to? I don't get it at all.
Well, good. That's fantastic. That's why they have sponsors. People who do get it, sponsor them. People who don't get it, sponsor other people.
Oh,
but I do like the use of unenlightened and German in the same sentence. That's fantastic.
Hey, I'm part German. Now,
that would be funny. Can we say diplomatic and Korean in the same sentence?
Oh dear, not going to go there, Andrew.
I can attest and say that we had a German exchange student stay with us for a year, and if you look up "dumb as dirt" in a dictionary, her picture is right next to it. That's all I've got to say about that. Those of you who know me and have heard the stories know what I'm talking about, and 99.995 agree with me. Oh my goodness gracious!
Well,
so,
if you were to look up in the Farmer's Almanac, "dumb as dirt," I'm pretty sure you'd see my family tree. So I don't mind at all.
Well, and given that dirt is some of the most valuable things on our planet that decides whether communities succeed or fail, I'll go for the dumb as dirt part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of rich and starving.
absolutely. So, anyway, moving on from that conversation, speaking of someone who says they don't get it, and I respect that, and I'm just poking fun. I totally understand that and respect that. on the blog the other day, we had someone comment to, if y'all will remember, about 2 weeks ago, I wrote a post called the true role of livestock on the homestead. And it was kind of an emotional post for me because I am an emotional person, and I'm not a heartless killer. You know, I don't raise animals just for the blood sport of it. And it fell on the heels of my emotions and my experience with our first hog killing. And so someone gets on and comments, the reason you, and there's a line that says, I shed a tear. Now, we can all attest, shedding a tear is much different from crying, from bawling your eyes out, from having an emotional breakdown. I can shed a tear at the very thought of, like, extreme home makeovers on TV or something. So shedding a tear is not any true indication of my emotional state. But I put that I'd shed a tear. So someone comments, you know, the reason you shed a tear is because you were killing a harmless, innocent animal. I became a vegetarian X amount of time ago, and it's the best decision. You need to be true to yourself. Just look at your tagline. Power to the poultry, chicken whisperer, please, be honest with yourself. Give up the meat. So that was the comment. So, Andy, I posted back, that's not my tagline. That's called a header ad for somebody. Oh, dear.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny? I was like, come on. Don't come up here and, you know, it is one thing to have your beliefs and to have your values in line. It's quite another to go onto someone's personal space and basically call that person out for not believing the same as you. And, you know, I'm fine with people who want to be vegetarians and vegans and all those sort of different terms, but don't come into my house and tell me what I can or cannot eat and what's being truthful to myself and what's not being truthful to myself. And if you're going to have the audacity to get on a blog and post a comment, at least know what the content of the blog is.
Good point. Absolutely.
I mean, my God, next thing you know, they'll be calling me Mr. Google or something. Gosh.
Hey, Pat, we had a comment in the chat room about your car. She said, what is that tapping in the background over and over and over again? And I put, oh, that's Pat's car. And they said, really? I said, yeah, it's an old Model T Ford struggling to get through the desert.
Oh, man. Goodness gracious. So, look, Andy, I came with topics prepared today because I wanted to talk about some poultry kind of issues that I've been asked recently that I think are interesting. And I think a couple people have asked you because I've seen kind of some similar things on your Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
I am constantly amazed at the amount of people who want to know how to make their chickens more comfortable in the winter.
Oh, Lord.
Now, I think I stand on the same platform as you. Chickens have been around for a long, long time.
There you
long
go.
Before central heat and air, long before propane heat and electric heaters and all that sort of stuff. Chickens fluff. They know what to do. You don't need to take a heating system out to your coop for the winter so that they're more comfortable. It's just not necessary. So what I wanted to talk about today was how exactly we're going to be wintering over our flock in case
Great.
Other people are in a similar situation. I do believe that there is a difference between making your animals comfortable and taking the animal instincts out of the animal. We see this a lot with domestication of dogs and cats and things like that, to the point where if they were turned out, they would not be able to survive because we hand feed them, we feed them scraps from the table, we fluff their beds for them. They, you know, some animal lovers, you know, they lay in bed with them, that sort of thing. So if they were turned out, they wouldn't know what to do. So when we're planning to winter over our flock, we do a couple of things to assist them in staying warm because it does get chilly. You know, it gets 20, 30 degrees, that sort of thing, and that's a little chilly. And, for instance, our Buff Orpingtons, we don't have a lot of them. So there's not a lot of heat going on inside of their coop. They do a lot of fluffing and a lot of snuggling, that sort of thing. So one of the things we do is we do a lot of bedding. We keep sawdust, we keep wheat straw, that sort of thing. And about once a week, we make sure that we clean out the bedding, completely clean it out, scrape the floor of the coop, and then add new bedding to it, as well as inside of their nesting boxes. It's a very simple practice. If you want sawdust, I know you can go to the box stores with a bag, and they will put their the sawdust from the cutting station. They will freely give it to you. You just ask them, and they'll dump it right in your bag for you. You can also get it from any sort of construction site or construction place. Just go and say, hey, can I have some of your sawdust, that sort of stuff. Because otherwise, they have to get rid of it somehow. So if you want to take it from them, they're fine with that. Wheat straw, hay, you can typically get that at Tractor Supply, Feed and Seed, that sort of stuff, Ag Supply, and it's about $5 for a bale. And typically a bale should last you about a month or so, so long as you don't let it get moist and start developing bugs and mushrooms and that sort of stuff. So that's one of the things we do. We do the bedding. The other thing that a lot of people don't realize is if you're in there cleaning every day, if you scrape out the poop every single day, you are taking away a natural heating element from those chickens. That litter puts off an incredible amount of methane and heat. And so when it drops to the floor properly, like if you have poultry netting on the floor or something like that, to where they can't, you know, peck at it or to where it doesn't get all, you know, all over them, that sort of thing, you're adding heat to their coop, and it'll rise to the top, and it'll make a nice, just like a central heating system. So about once a week, once every week and a half, is how much we clean the litter out of the coop. The other thing that we do is we do have a light. We use a 60-watt incandescent bulb that's on a timer, and now is the perfect time of year to get a timer, especially right after Christmas. They'll all go on sale. We set it so that it stays on for about 4 hours later than dusk so that it extends their day. Now, here's a good example. For right as the seasons were changing, our girls had gone down to about 30% of their average production, and they started prematurely molting. Well, once I added the lights and the timers, as we've done every year, once I added those, we went back up, not just to 100%, but 120% of their average production. We're getting about 3 dozen eggs a day now, which is incredible. But we're doing it because we're extending the day. They need to have that 14 to 16 hours of daylight for maximum production. Are you still? Is everybody still there? Am I still on?
Oh, yeah, okay. We're still with you.
It got so quiet, I was like, hey, maybe they cut me off.
no, Pat, she lost her.
So that's the third thing that we do. The fourth thing that we do, and this is for people who just who have power that they can easily run out to their coops or something like that, you may want to consider getting a de-icer. And the reason we use a de-icer is because it's more convenient for us than for the birds. There's nothing worse than getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark and going out there with something to chip the ice so that these birds can drink some water during the day. If you have a de-icer, it keeps the ice at a nice temperature so you don't have to go out there and keep what I consider wasting water, because you break the ice and you end up dumping half of it out, and then you have to fill it back up. So using a de-icer will typically save on water. It will also allow them to have good drinking water, you know, continuously, as they would in the spring and summer. And then the last tip is we usually put some sort of something the size of about a double nesting box, so the size of two nesting boxes. And we basically put just some dirt in it so that they can continue to take dust baths during the winter without having to go outside of the coop if they don't want to. Because typically they're going to stay inside the coop longer than they normally would in spring or summer. They're going to live in the coop a little bit more. But you do want them to be able to take those dust baths, because that's a very important part of how they clean themselves, of how they stay comfortable and regulate their body temperature. So those are some tips. Those are my simple living, tiny revolution tips for wintering over your birds.
Now, when I talk about, you know, the winter coops and
putting heaters in coops and things like that. And, of course, I always post the articles about coop fires and house fires and dead chickens and all of that. And, yeah, we're kind of on the same page there. It's interesting that because most folks, not all, but most folks know that heat is far more detrimental to chickens than the cold ever will be, period.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so when I talk to people who have a heat lamp in their coop or in the wintertime, I ask them, especially if I'm on site, I'm like, I don't see an air conditioner and I don't see a hole for an air conditioner for your chickens in the summertime. How come? And then they look at me like I've lost my marbles. Like,
right. Oh, yeah.
Do you expect me to put an air conditioner in the coop for my chickens in the summertime? Well, let's justify this. You're putting a heater in the coop for them in the wintertime, and if heat is far more detrimental to your chickens than heat, than cold, then if you're doing this to keep them comfortable and you love them and you're going to give them warm oatmeal in the morning and all, you know, then why not? That doesn't make sense. You're
right.
treating them worse in the summer by not having an air conditioner if you have a heater in the wintertime. So now I've got
yep.
to where I justify that, like asking the folks who have a heater in their coop or a heat lamp, where's the air conditioner? Do you have one in the summertime? If not, why not?
Yes.
If you're going to
yes.
base it on, I'll sleep better knowing they're comfortable, or I really want them to stay warm, or I love my chickens, and which is fine. But then you should also, using that premise, using that justification for heat in the wintertime, you should have an air conditioner in there in the summertime.
Oh, absolutely.
Period.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, and that's why I pointed out we use a 60-watt incandescent bulb because it's not for the heat factor per se. It's to extend the daylight so that they have maximum amount of time to actually do what chickens do, lay eggs. So we use just a plain 60-watt incandescent bulb, nothing fancy, nothing heated, nothing crazy, you know, just one of these cheap bulbs. Now, of course, some people will get upset with me because I'm not using LEDs, because I'm not using CFLs, whatever. I'm just not. I'm using incandescent because, first of all, yes, I have had a chicken peck the bulb out. Did the chicken get hurt? I don't know. I wasn't there to watch it. But, you know, I don't want to pay $13 for a bulb for some chicken to get an attitude problem and peck out my light. So we just get the cheap incandescent bulbs to extend the day. I think, honestly, when we go overboard in wintering over or even keeping comfortable in the summer, our livestock and our animals that we utilize for, you know, for food resource, it's a slippery slope. And you have to ask yourself, well, what, you know, when am I going to stop? You know, it's like, am I, you know, of course I have a little run that goes up into the coop for the chickens, but you know, what's next? Am I going to carpet it so that they don't slip accidentally? Am I going to, you know, maybe I'll put an escalator in so they don't actually have to walk up the run. They can just glide right up to the coop, you know. So we have to think about, honestly, what is within the integrity of the bird and what are we doing to maintain the very natural state of the bird during the course of this season. There's nothing wrong with changing out the bedding and with letting natural heat build up, but I think we have to be real careful about, you know, taking the animal instinct out of the animal, because ultimately we're going to end up with premature molting, we're going to end up with poor egg production, and we're basically going to be paying to feed birds that are not doing anything in return.
And the fact that if the power goes out, now they're going to be in more shock than if
oh,
they were
yeah. Absolutely. So that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. But then I also wanted to talk about, and I'm sure you've had other guests who have talked about this or y'all have talked about it. In fact, I've heard a conversation about it. Just to reiterate some of the more hardy breeds, if you're looking at starting, you know, I would hope no one's going to start a breed or is going to start a layer in the middle of winter. But you know, some breeds that are a bit hardy for this particular season. We love to go with any part of the buff family because they are just big, stocky, hardy birds.
Yeah, those minimalists, they sure do like to go in the buff. You're right,
man. hey, don't doubt it. And we also like some barred rocks because for the same reason. They're nice, hardy birds, and they fluff well. They have good plumage, I guess you would say. And so that's pretty much what we're investing into winter over, is our buff layer and our barred rock layers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. So that's my contribution to the community in terms of what exactly we actually do with chickens.
Now, when I know you just got done and you had a blog about harvesting, calling pork and beans, right?
That's it.
Right. And when is the next, or do you have any meat birds, or you strictly have layers right now?
Right now we just have layers, because we, about 3 weeks before we had our hog killing, we processed out the last of the birds. And so we have probably 2.5 months worth of chicken in the freezer,
great.
Which I would is just over 30 birds, 30 full birds. So we're okay with that, because we also do a side of beef and we also do pork. So we have a nice mixture of meat to move us through. And we're not just, you know, red meat type carnivores. We probably have three supper meals a week that are not meat centered, that are some sort of like bean centered or a stew center or something like that. We don't just eat, meat and potatoes every meal. So we're pretty good for the winter. We don't want to get to a point, because our generator's not powerful enough, we can't afford one quite yet. We don't want to get to a point that if we were to lose power for, you know, several days, that we would end up losing hundreds upon hundreds of dollars worth of harvesting.
Are you near your computer? Or still on the front porch?
Okay. I'm still on the front porch. Why? We have someone commenting? Do we have
no, I was going to comment, but I didn't know if it was public information or not about, and I'm just going to state one word, and then you'll know what I'm talking about, and it may not be public information, Georgia.
Ah, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I didn't know.
And I will be posting about it, simply because, it's kind of touch and go, but, it's kind of no big secret to my family and things like that, that towards the first of 2012, we're going to be heading back to Georgia for a while.
Deal!
Yeah. To equally as impoverished of a city, called Barnesville, Georgia, which is where I'm from, and for a couple of reasons, and this goes into the minimal living aspect or minimalist aspect. It's to finally 100% be done with consumer debt, which will take about 7 months to finish off that outstanding balance, which will put our family at zero consumer debt. And will be a nice place to be. And the second thing is to finally finish up Tiny House. 2012, we'll see the inauguration of our Tiny House, exterior and interior. So we'll be kind of coming back and forth between the two, primarily Georgia, but also spending some time back in North Carolina with our family. We think it's very important, because it's not that much of a drive. We think it's important for us and for Tilly to be able to spend time with both families. So we're going to be kind of bouncing back and forth and that sort of thing. And then we'll see towards the end of the year, you know, where we're led to go and what we're led to do with Tiny Revolution.
You'll only be about 2.5, maybe 3, depending on the count I'm looking at now, 2.5, 3 counties away from us, you know.
That's not bad. We would
Lamar County.
Have to have to get together or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll definitely be within a nice Saturday visit driving distance from each other. So that would be cool. Now, are you going back to a homestead? I was looking it up, so I didn't catch. Apologize. Everything back to a homestead you came from or lived at, right?
Yes. So we're going back to the family farm.
Gotcha. I remember seeing pictures
now,
of that.
I will probably not. This summer will probably be the first summer we've been talking about it, and we're going to experiment with, you know, since we started on our micro homesteading adventure, we've 100% grown our own and raised our own. We have not really delved into how do people do this if they don't grow their own or raise their own. And so we're very much considering letting this year go by without planting anything and without raising anything and documenting what it's like for people who don't have those resources to support local agriculture, support local ranchers and farmers, and actually work with ranchers and farmers to secure these sort of things so that you can still have you can reap the benefits of that sort of lifestyle even if you don't have the resources to do all of the work. Because I think a lot of people want to, they just don't really know how. So I think we're probably going to spend a lot of time meeting new farmers, meeting new ranchers, meeting new poultry growers, all that sort of thing, and trying to figure out how you do it from a consumer level.
I agree. And now when you get down there, will you need any help getting things back to the way you are back to the way it was? And because I know you had done a lot of work there before you moved.
Because luckily, it's a family farm, so there's still people on it, all over it. It's 42 acres, and there's 7 families on it. So we'll probably just, and I say this loosely in case one of them's listening, we'll just probably mooch. We'll show up and mooch off everybody else. A lot of our time is going to be spent focusing on Tiny House and really just pulling that together, because that is the epicenter and the beginning of our dream. And so we feel like it's now time for that dream to come to fruition and for most of our energy to be poured into that.
Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. So I guess in a way it's exciting. You're looking forward to it, and that's going to extend your goals and your lifestyle.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is Crystal and I have talked, and we're not even sure that building the tiny house is for us. We may be building it for someone else, and we just don't know it yet. And that is very cool as well, because there are a lot of people who are looking for resources like that. So you never know what the course of a year can bring. But we feel very confident that in this season of our life, we're supposed to follow that path. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Very cool. That's fabulous, man. So what if someone had posted, and I'll tell you, I saw it on Facebook because we don't have TV. Somebody had posted earlier and Carmen in the chat room had posted it and shared it as well, and it was I think Jimmy Kimmel Live had sent out requests that give your kids a really horrible Christmas present, have them open it up, get it on video, and then send it to us. And so there's a video on YouTube of these different kids, and like one opens an old rotten banana. One opens, a half drunk thing of applesauce, a half of a eaten peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or, somebody gets a boy gets some ponies, or a boy gets a girl's book, or, things like that. And there are these, and they take videos of it. Oh, ready for this? One of my favorite was a family, a great Southern accent, and this kid pulls out a real Idaho baked potato, and mom says, "It's a Mr. Potato Head." And then I think there was a couple of others that were very creative like that. And oh my gosh, I was just, the potato head really got me laughing. That was funny. But to see the reaction of some of those kids to me was sad. It was I looked at it and I'm thinking, okay, is this what our country has become? And I'll get to my question for you in a minute, just kind of leading up to it. In fact, there was one – just went on a tantrum. He got mad. He's like, "I hate you, stupid parent." I mean, and some of their reactions were just horrible because they didn't get that $300 Xbox or that $300 Coach purse or those,
right.
that fancy – what is that? North Face? Is that fancy brand of clothing everybody wants? North Face?
Yeah, I think so.
Or the Armani sweatpants or whatever. And so I'm looking at that thinking, oh, my gosh, I would be too embarrassed to do that if I was that parent to actually show. What was that one that you said that, in fact, we mentioned? I'm looking at my wife, and it was that you said something about on that. Anyway, so it was, I was just like, I would be too embarrassed to say that. And then the very last one is just absolute kind of crude. I said, man, if my son said that, he'd get a trip to the woodshed and be locked in his room for about 3 weeks. But it was, it's. I know it's meant to be funny, but when you look at that and see their reaction to something, and then you think of all the children that get one present, and it's not an Xbox out there because of the economy and because of people's hardships, and then you see that kind of stuff react when they, and I know it was done to be fun. But I was just like, man, that's what we've come to, is that just, Christmas being half a room full of these wrapped presents. And if the kids don't get what they ask for, they're mad and upset. So my question now for you is, what is or is there a big gift for the little one? I know you and I, our kids are about 3 months apart, so they'll probably mm-hmm. never remember Kayla being 7 months here, coming up on 7 months around Christmas. Won't remember his first Christmas, but so right. Me and Jen, why? I don't understand. We'll get him some things that he might truly need, and then maybe a couple of age-appropriate toys, learning toys or what have you. And I think he got a box of diapers for Christmas. But yeah. But I mean, is there? I'm trying to think. There's not like the kids. There's that one major gift that they ask for that they may or may not get, but. What are you planning for your little one for Christmas morning or Christmas day or if there's that one? I will tell you that I did, being more of a for me type thing, but and memory basically, so I could get it on video and on camera, the Red Ryder carbine action BB rifle, a 70th anniversary edition. So
it's
so funny, which was a whopping $29.
Ooh, goodness gracious.
In fact, one of our listeners live right now, Bluegrass Mama, actually sent me the link on this, I forget what it's called. It's like Groupon, but it's for a different type of, it's for, I think, sporting goods and things like that. And I can't remember gear. I don't remember what it's called. Maybe she can type it in the chat room. But she sent it, so I joined. And so about every day, every other day, I get this, this big coupon. Say 50% on this, 50% on that. And back in around Thanksgiving, it was, get a 70th anniversary Red Ryder BB rifle for $24.99. Woo! So that'll be something. I really did it to get some good pictures, something that when he's older, he can look back and say, my first Christmas, I got a Red Ryder Super Carbine Action 70th anniversary BB rifle. And on my first Christmas. And it was funny. But, yeah, so how about yourself? What are y'all having planned as we kind of wrap up the show for your new arrival?
Well, we gave her the gift of life.
Yes.
I thought that was probably important. I let her live each day, which is important. It's interesting you ask that because we really don't have a big gift for her. I figure the day will probably start out like many other 3-month-old first Christmases. We'll change her poopy diaper, and then we'll have a little breakfast. And then we'll take a nap, and then we'll start it all over again with poopy diaper. But Andy, to tell you the truth, we bought some baby's first Christmas and Christmas 2011 silver coins.
Very awesome.
And one of the baby's first Christmas we had engraved on the back for her. And so that's what we did for her big gift. She got some 1 ounce silver coin.
I love that idea. I'm going to do that when we head to up to Atlanta. I've got to do that. That is absolutely a fabulous idea. We've been looking for a Christmas ornament for the tree, baby's first Christmas, maybe with his name on it,
yep.
Things like that. And we're kind of limited in ideal, but we'll
need
to try to look for that.
We don't have a tree. We don't have a tree, so. And nobody in the chat room go, oh, they don't have a tree. That's so sad. We don't want a tree. So it's not sad. If we wanted one, we'd have one. We just don't want one. So we just went a different route. And, I think I've talked before on the show, and, of course, Andy, you and I have talked about investing in commodities and that sort of thing. And so when I was looking about a month ago on the AppMix website, we saw these Baby's First Christmas and then Christmas 2011, and we thought that's perfect. So that's her Christmas gift.
Very cool. I love the silver idea. I'm definitely going to try to do that. And when we go up to Atlanta and try to find, that would be good, first Christmas silver coins to put in. That's an awesome idea.
Yep.
I like that. And like I said, we got maybe a little learning toy and actually some books. What are they called? The Chewy books?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
They're books that are made out of fabric, whatever that they can actually chew and put in their mouth or whatever. But got a couple of those.
Yeah, and we're kind of limited too. You know, we're only at 3 months, so we don't have a lot of options. You know, she about 2 or 3 weeks ago discovered that those things on the end of her arms are actually hers. They're her hands. So she eats them a lot, and she found out that you can, if you slobber long enough, that someone will wipe it up for you. So she's discovering the willful act of slobbering. And so we've gotten her a couple little things, stocking stuffers, I call them. But her big gift is silver. And we're comfortable with that. We would have done it anyway. So it just makes it neat that they had some that coincided with Christmas time.
Fabulous. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Well, we got about 5 minutes left. Andrew Odom, founder of tinyrevolution.us, want to say thank you very much for joining us today. It'll be your last show of 2012, so we want to make sure that you have a fabulous Christmas and New Year with your new family. Gotta love it. And we appreciate you coming on the third Tuesday of every month and sharing your dream, your goals, your life with us, and the good, the bad, and the ugly, which was mentioned in the show a little earlier, and the with doing that. And I think it's an inspiration to all of us, some of the things that you talk about here on the radio show. So I appreciate you coming on and your time. And give us all, I know you're on Twitter, Facebook, and all of that. Go ahead and
yeah,
share.
We're everywhere. You can check out the blog, tinyrevolution.us. In fact, we posted today. We had a great interview session with a couple of girls who started a company called Revolution Apparel. They've created created one garment that, through the magic of buttons and folding, actually is 12 garments in one. So that's very cool. We interviewed them today. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/tinyrev. Feel free to join our community. We have some great conversations. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/AndrewOdom, O-D-O-M. And then most recently, we've created a page on Google+, just to have some deeper, more kind of intellectual facts and figures, numbers, budgets, that sort of stuff, conversation about building a tiny house. So feel free to contact us anyway. We appreciate all you've done, Andy, for us this year, and all the community's done, met some great people. And we look forward to seeing you in the new year.
Hey, you too, man. Good vibes to you and your family. And hope you have an awesome one. And we'll see you back in about, I guess, the third Tuesday in January. And good tidings to you. Thanks for joining us. Take care.
Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.
All righty. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We've got about 2 minutes and 19 seconds left. And and we appreciate you tuning in. And don't forget, today's secret password was already mentioned. If you missed it, well, then I just have one thing to say. If you missed the secret password,
la, 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 la.
You'll have to go back and listen to the archive show and get the password. Or just pay attention a little bit later on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Chicken Whisperer, and on Twitter as well. We'll be posting it on both of those places later today if you missed the secret password. We've got one more password that will be getting issued tomorrow, and then that'll be it. And then Thursday, Santa Claus is going to be joining us. He's going to be giving away the chicken coop to one lucky listener, and he's also going to be taking calls from little boys and girls all over the country and talking with them on live video as well. How cool is that? So I hope you all have a wonderful day. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.